I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. How are we doing today? Happy Sunday. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers who may be watching us. I am one of your hosts today, Mark J. Freeman, joined with the dashing Ali Drennan.
Hey, happy Daddy's Day, everyone. You know, it's not just fathers, it's also father figures.
That's right.
Near and far across the land. I'm Ali's super excited.
We're all inclusive here. We're waiting. Ronnie Jr. may be joining us. We just wanted to get started. We're waiting on him to join us, so he may pop in. So just be ready for a third voice. Jackie is spending the day with her father. And we have Bree running the show back there. So we'll get going. We'll keep an eye on the chat room. We'll try and keep you guys connected and more intertwined with the show today, especially if it's just the two of us.
I know.
The two sassiest. We're recapping season, All-Star Season 5, RuPaul's Drag Race, Episode 3. Get a Room, it was called, was the name of the episode. Let's just recap real quick last week's episode. Angina went home. It was Shay lip syncing against Alyssa Edwards.
Your favorite.
My favorite. always on top of her game and clearly a winner. But Shay won the lip sync and chose Angina to get a home. Everybody kind of felt like Angina gave up. There was some drama that had unfolded with Ms. Cracker and Angina, which we're going to delve into again today because it seems to continue to be going. So that was last week's. So this week, again, no mini challenge, Ali.
Are you sad about that? I feel like All Stars never does mini challenges.
I don't remember.
Aside from the reading challenge, I don't think they do it. It's almost a little bit redundant for them to do it. Because they always, well, now their mini challenges are for sponsors on regular seasons of Drag Race. So
right.
Kitty litter, whatnot. But yeah, do you not like that they don't do mini challenges?
I mean, it's always just something fun. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess in a producing aspect, producing perspective, it's filler. It's, you know, content to use, to have. Right. Well, I don't know. Maybe they're showing mini challenges on digital. Maybe there are some out there. I don't know if you guys have seen them and know about them. Tell us about them.
For All Stars, it's like they give more spotlight to the queens and like the drama that's going on and kind of like the storylines. It's almost as if they replaced the mini challenges with more dialogue for the queens.
I think it's more the drama. I think they just want more of the drama, and because I think the mini challenges are just kind of fun and quirky and just like, which I like because that's what drag is about. It's about personalities. It's about improvising. It's about, you know, entertaining.
Right.
I
will say that I kind of wish maybe there were more mini challenges for All Stars, because in this episode, which we'll talk about, when they kind of paired everyone up, it was like randomly selected Blair and Mayhem. So that felt like kind of produced and not random. So I feel like having that fun little time of having that mini challenge, whatever it is, but also to kind of make it not as like forcefully like put into certain groups for whatever reason. But yeah, you know what? I still love it regardless. We're getting the drama. We're definitely getting the drama this season.
Yeah. Do you think if it was a random drawing, which I highly doubt there was a bag of names and names were pulled out. That's just my opinion. But do you think, if this was strategic in the producers' minds, which team did you think they thought was like the team to be?
The team. Oh, that's so hard. Well,
because they obviously put them together for a reason if it was produced.
Right. Because no one was like outstanding in this episode other than Jujubee. And I always say that, like, I think the people who have the advantage in these challenges are the people with the less amount of team members. So it's like Mayhem and Blair. And I personally didn't think they did amazing, but they were the most consistent, I think. But Juju just stood out because we already know Juju has so much personality with her. She's so entertaining, such a great host, such a great entertainer in general.
Right.
So it's interesting because I feel like she was the only one to me that did amazing, whereas everyone just kind of fumbled or just didn't really steal the spotlight like Juju did. So it was almost a little bit of a cluster. Fuck. I'm trying not to curse. I'm so sorry. But I don't know. What is your interpretation of this week? Because aside from Juju, that was the only person that really sold it for me.
I mean, overall, my thoughts on the week, I mean, when it was all said and done, I just was kind of like, what was that? Like, everything just seemed like, it just seemed like a wasted episode to me. It just seemed like, we're going to put together the people we want to put together. We're going to make the person win that we want to win. We're going to make the person go home that we want to go home. Like, it seemed the most produced episode in the history of Drag Race, in my opinion.
Now that you say that, it seemed like this episode was to give Juju finally her win, which she got, rightfully so, because everyone else was just kind of very lackluster. That's the word I want. Lackluster.
Lackluster.
and they put like Blair and Mayhem together, who don't really have like storylines right now. So they're kind of like, they like won. They were safe. That's what they were. They didn't win. Juju won. But they were safe. Where it was just really interesting. I did like that they judged it that way, that they were safe, had the most consistent. They just worked well together, I think, even though it wasn't as astounding. But everyone else seems to kind of have like a storyline right now, aside from those two. So I definitely took notice of that.
Well, I felt like it was also Blair and Mayhem's opportunity to do a challenge without Miss Cracker, because they both kept saying that they thought, had Miss Cracker not been on their team last time, that they would have done better. So I almost kind of felt like it was kind of like, okay, let's put them together again without Cracker. Let's see how they do. That was kind of idea. But, you know, getting back to this whole producing thing and stuff too, I'm just thinking, you know, if you're going to produce it, which we know they're going to, I mean, we're not breaking news right now. Let them choose. Like, you're going to produce it anyway. You're going to either, you know, there's going to be one team that has the best room and they're the most, you know, amazing at hosting the event. So they're all going to win. There's going to be a winner within that. That's going to be the winning room. If that's not the case, then we do what we did. You're going to win because you did the challenge the best, but she stood out the most, so she's going to win. So we know they're going to do that kind of stuff anyway. So then let them choose. At least let there be, like, I feel like when they choose, that creates drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. That's just my two cents, but whatevs. So the teams, I'll just go over the teams again. Teams were Blair and Mayhem. Team two, Juju, India, and Alexis. And team three was Shay, Mariah, and Miss Cracker. And the challenge was to be, you know, specific as to what, because I'm always like, what did she say? What is the challenge? So she says that the challenge is to create a signature suite worthy of a 5-star Rue Boutique hotel. So this is, in my opinion, why Blair and Mayhem won. Because if you say this is the challenge and look at those three rooms, Blair's and Mayhem stood out as a five-star, like a 5-star hotel is a 5-freaking-star hotel. And if you've never stayed at one, you should. But you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, I think it does.
My only thing is that, like, you always want to make Rue laugh. You always want to have some comedy within it to stand out. And I think they definitely did the challenge for sure with their rich. Their whole theme was, like, rich. And But I just wasn't, like, enthralled with it, you know? I think, but the other two, they focused so much more on comedy, whereas they didn't get that, the 5-star quality that Blair and Mayhem did. So, and their jokes just landed flat. There was no jokes other than Juju just totally stealing the scene, you know? Chucky Chuck, shout out to the chat real quick. Chucky Chuck says, why not 4 teams of 2?
True.
Shout out to Sandra, the nightclub challenge. This was very reminiscent of last season's nightclub, Club 96.
Well, see that, and I got, okay, Ronnie's going to be joining us here soon. We just got a message. I think I felt like Mayhem and Blair, theirs had that Club 96. Just the way they were talking with the whispering reminded me so much of what they had done on the other season.
But I liked Naomi and Valentina way better. They were so good. Yeah. It was Naomi and Valentina, right? If I remember.
Naomi and...
I think Valentina.
Was it? Okay.
I think so. Correct me if I'm wrong, chat.
Yeah, chat will fix us if we're wrong. Did you have a favorite room, Ronnie Jr.? Ronnie Jr. He's joining us soon. But Ali, did you have a favorite room?
In terms of like... In terms of how it looked. Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie.
You guys.
It's the brilliant and amazing Ronnie Jr.
Yes.
I know, yet I can't seem to work Zoom properly. I tried to sign on like 19 times. I get the fail. I'm sorry, guys.
No, it's
okay.
Fine.
It's okay. We just got a little started ahead of time. We're talking about the three rooms, and we were discussing which room we thought, if there's one of the three that stood out to each of us, which one was up?
Oh, I think remarkably it had to be that Golden Girls. I mean, that while it fell short, it just plays on such a high percentage of people who love the TV show, you know, itself, but then also cross over to loving RuPaul's Drag Race. So that's the one that like seemed the most interesting. I feel like I judged it maybe even biasly a little bit, where even though it didn't hit as hard as I wanted, I just loved it because I liked the idea
of it. Yeah. I think they were, I do feel like they kind of set themselves up for failure. I mean, you have to think too, like this is, and again, it's just me. I'm a director, producer, actor at heart. This is what I've been doing my entire life. So I'm always looking at details and stuff, and you're trying to sell a room but then telling people who died in the room. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to, if you're going to do it, you have to do it in a positive, uplifting way. Like, I wish, like, even, and, you know, the whole thing with Shay saying, picture it, Sicily, 1923, had, all Shay had to do was say, like, in loving memory of my mother who's no longer with us, as she would say.
Yeah. Well, no, and Dorothy would have said, you know, ma, would always, yeah. She'd always say, yeah, ma. She'd always called her ma. So little mm-hmm. details like that, you know, yeah. And I think going into a challenge like that, you have to have that expectation where you're saying, I know this is a higher caliber of you know, this is a tougher challenge because, you know, this is one of Rue's favorite shows. So they couldn't drop the ball, and they did. I did like the subtle details, like Shay using the background that she used as her runway, her official walk-in. Some of the stuff was cute. The sunset, I thought was cute too. But I think like Mariah, who I love, she didn't give me any B. Arthur. And Rosebud, which should have been 19 trillion jokes, just wasn't. So
yeah. Ali, did you have a favorite room? Sorry.
Well, I think I don't even watch Golden Girls. I'm sorry. I've never seen Golden Girls.
We've all watched it enough for you.
aesthetically, like it's something that like obviously the queer community just like loves it. They grew up on it. I unfortunately haven't, but people just constantly tell me to. I was all about Three's Company, so it did give me a little bit of Three's Company vibe. Oh. Not just like just how the room looked. Like I loved how they styled it, but I think with them, they were trying too hard to make the jokes land, that they were thinking too much and that they weren't able to make them funny enough, or they thought like they were trying to go on that dry sense of humor. But yeah, I just didn't really connect with any of the rooms overall, honestly.
I always say, Ronnie, I go back to what Rue says, like, what is the actual challenge? And she says, create a signature suite worthy of a 5-star Rue Boutique hotel. So when I listen to that, I have to pick Blair and Mayhem, like hands down. And I think that that's where the other two teams lost it. I think they needed to do, the themes were fine. They just needed to be elevated to a 5-star Golden Girls would have been high end, you know, yeah. that just something very, it had to look really high end. It has to look very lavish, and it looked like the show. And the show isn't five star. They're, you know, old grandmothers that live together. You know what I mean? Like, I just felt like it needed to be raised to another level, I guess.
I agree.
Was there, I personally thought of something afterwards. That's the only reason I want to ask this question. Was there a theme that you guys were like, oh, they should have done this theme? Was there anything that popped into your head? Like, this would have been a good theme for somebody to do?
No, I guess I was fixated on Golden Girls being the win. I didn't think of anything. What, Ollie, did you think of something? I hadn't thought of anything off
the hand. Nerd in me wants to say something like
cosplay.
Wait, what? No. Cosplay. Video game, like some kind of video game, but I know that has like copyright issues, so it's not like they can do like Pokemon or Super Mario Brothers, but something just like a little bit more quirky, but still, I guess, still maintain that super five-star rating that, you know, that Blair and Mayhem were able to achieve. And though
I think that's where the challenge was for this, was to create this elevated high-end room, but keep it fun too, and keep the jokes flying and stuff like that. I don't think, because I think you could come in and present the room and that's, you know, a five star and still present it in a funny, witty way, you know? So I don't think the theme necessarily needed to be funny, because I think had you taken Alexis and Juju and stuck them in the 24K room and had them give the tour, it would have been a very different tour. You know what I mean? Like, I just think... It's really just testing personalities. And I think we can all agree that Juju and some of the others stood out more than others just because they're just naturals at what they do.
I think that just showcases that it really takes like an all-star with a personality to win the competition.
You know,
you
think
of like Monet, Trinity, Trixie,
Jada Essence Hall.
Right. Mm-hmm. But for all-stars, you want your winner.
Oh, all-stars.
But like you want your winner to have that like not over the top. I don't want to say like super extra. Like you want them just to be memorable and to really like resonate with you. And that's why Juju won this challenge clearly, because she had just like a memorable performance. You want these performances to be memorable to the fans and to influence the fans and to just know that, oh yeah, Juju's here to freaking play the game for sure. So
I wonder if the same problem we have keeps happening on a lot of the challenges, but specifically this one, when they know there's a Club 96 of yesteryear or of previous seasons that did so well on social media, do some of the girls decide not to put all their energy and their intention into the actual room itself, but they try to come up with something that they know will catch virally and do really well? And I think that's been a frustration watching some of the, I must say, younger girls on the show, or anyone really. And that's kind of what my problem with this challenge was. They weren't fully thought out and fully flushed out, really.
No one went viral in this episode.
I don't think so. What was I just going to say? I was going to say, well, I was actually surprised that none of them thought to do a RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star themed room that they were the part of the room that it was there, like it was the Alexis Jujubee and India Farrah room from RuPaul. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that would have been a really cool theme, like that they would have done that and presented as themselves. That was just my
oh, that's my cool. You know what? Have we already done something where they do a room of pop icons? That could have been fun too.
That could be
like Dollywood is Dolly Parton, correct?
Right.
So do something like that, and you could have done some. You could have done a play on One Hit Wonders. Like you could have done like, well, these are 80s gals, but like Taylor Dane, Brenda K. Starr. And then you could have done like Seduction as if Michelle Visage was this, who is this lady? Whatever became of her? Like that could have been really cool. And a callback to some of the older generation stuff.
Exactly. Well, let's get into the runway. The judges for the runway, Michelle Ross, Nicole Byer was a guest judge, and Martin Lawrence Bullard, who I had to Google, and Ollie didn't know. Ollie didn't know either, so I know it's not just because I'm old. Did you know who he was, Ronnie Jr.?
I think he might have been on a Bravo show, and that might be the only reason I know. But it might not even be the same guy. I'm not sure.
Yeah. What did we think of Rue's look on the runway after my meltdown last week of her look? How did you think of this week's look?
It was very fuzzy. I love neon. I love seeing whenever Rue's in neon, like I think she just glows. And I personally loved it. It was fun. I just like it when she has fun with her looks and takes risks. So
yeah, I'm opposite of Ollie, but I agree with Ollie too. Like I don't like neon typically, but I think when Rue does it, it usually works because the way the neon works with the makeup is always really good. But I'm not a neon person unless it is Shea Coulee.
It was very middle of the road for me. I thought it fit her weird. I like when it shows off her figure and her legs and stuff. That gets me every time when she does that. But I didn't hate it as much as I did last week. So let's go through the queens runways. I will go in order as they appeared because I wrote them down as they appeared. Blair St. Clair was first. This was the challenge is 3-in-1. So we can debate what 3-in-1 means. Mm-hmm. I noted which ones I thought were actually 3-in-1. So we can have that debate. but Blair did a 50s, 60s, and 70s. So her first look was a 50s look. Revealed a 60s look and then revealed a 70s look. Questions, comments, concerns?
I really liked it. I know a lot of people kind of harked on her because it was like simple, but it was actually it was so smart to do the 50s, 60s, 70s look. I love that. Like she started out in this tiny thing and then ended up in like the 70s long pants, long sleeve, different wig. I really enjoyed it. I know that probably I'll get dragged for that, but I loved I really like her display this week. It was like less is more, and I always like kind of gravitate towards less is more sometimes. So I personally really liked it this week, so props to you, Blair. I always look forward to what she's gonna bring in because she's someone definitely to keep your eye on.
Ronnie, what'd you think of Blair's?
Blair's been one, along with Mayhem, that don't qualify for All-Stars, in my opinion. So let me try to be nice with my visual.
Press the shade button.
I gotta put it by my mic.
Ronnie. I thought this was a... Just in opinion. This is what I'll say about her. I think, I was born in the 80s. So if I were to do a runway... I understand the concept of like doing something from the 60s is like, oh, it's so, you know, nostalgic, mm-hmm. you know, from a time I wasn't around. But if I choose to do the 60s, you have to do it accurately. I think Gigi Good did that a lot where she was like, oh, this is amazing from the 80s. And those of us who were born in the 80s were like, nah, you really didn't hit the mark. And I think that's kind of what happened with Blair is she didn't hit the mark just because she chose to pick a theme.
She did not hit mark.
If you're gonna do a callback to an era, you have to do it right. What happens is because the people in her generation won't check her because they don't know the difference. They'll just be like, "Oh yeah, that was good," and they don't know the difference. You know, so again, I was born in the '80s, so if I do something from the '60s, it's gotta be 100% accurate, and/or I gotta put a spin on it. I think Gigi did a bad job at that on her season, and I think Blair has that same thing where all of her counterparts, all of her peers, are like, "Girl, oh my gosh, '60s," and it's like. Mark, who was 32 in the 60s.
Rude.
I'm kidding. I love you, Mark. People who were around, you know what I'm saying? They just don't necessarily see it the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Mayhem was next. She had another kind of like mod-ish kind of look. Is actually how she kind of described it. Was with a jacket and a dress. Then the jacket came off, was just the dress. Then the dress came off. And the wig came off and she was in a bathing suit. I think the bathing suit look with the hat was the best. The rest I could have done without. Ronnie?
This was this was to me, it wasn't bad. Like no one is bad with these looks, but it was the weakest one for sure this week. I was very underwhelmed with it. It looked cute. Like I agree. I love the bathing suit. The way it was just, her body looked so snatched. Yeah. But I was underwhelmed. Like, I feel like I missed, I can't remember one of the looks, like, in her three looks. Like, I feel like there was something.
I know I had to watch it a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. And, the way she displayed it was too quick. And I'm like, wait, where is the third look? I'm missing the third look. So,
yeah.
I was underwhelmed.
Yeah. Ronnie, what did you think of Mayhem?
I probably agree with Mark exactly. Mayhem is a bit underwhelming for me as a character. Her personality, I don't like throughout the show. I think she's such a, not a fraud, but she capitalizes on certain things. She's just literally one of my least favorite, but the last look was nice. Yeah, it was really cute.
I'm not going to say anything because I talk the same way about Derek Barry. So you have yours, girl. I got mine. So
well, because I'm even though it's a reality show, I'm big on character. And if you go watch from her season to now, like, her character is always up for question. It's always up for debate. Now, if you're not looking for that sort of thing, you would have never noticed. But I'm a big character person, and her character is a little off, and it makes it harder for me to enjoy her on the show. But who knows? Maybe she's out for self, and maybe she'll win. So there you go. That's the competition.
Alexis did the circus 3-in-1. Started out as a circus tent, literally, almost. Then a ballerina, which I guess is the debate, is a ballerina part of a circus? And then a high wire look. Again, I thought, so far the first three, I thought their final looks were their best of the three. So you guys, what do you think, Ollie?
Yeah, I like, it's like hard because you remember the final look because that's the one that they're in when they're being judged. I love the final look. I just felt like it looked almost too reveal-y when she came out for the circus tent. It's like, okay, we know where there's going to be reveals. Like when they do their final at the finale lip sync, you see them in their giant robes and garbs. You're like, oh, okay, here comes all the reveals. I love that she had a concept of having the circus themed within it. Cause I love that. I just love that concept of just being in a circus, but I just didn't, aside from her last look, I didn't like them. Because they just looked too reveal-y. You were expecting the reveals, and they were distinct. They were completely different, all three of them. But you just were expecting the reveals where they weren't as organically, they didn't organically flow as some of the reveals that did happen. Like even Mayhem's were just like, whew. And I was underwhelmed by that, but I love that her. I just loved, I think it's the display, the performance with it. Yeah. I think that's where I'm going with.
Go ahead.
Ollie makes a great point. If the reveal is like so put on where you're expecting it, it really kind of does take it away. You want your reveals to be like Violet Chachki in episode 1 of season 7, where they just knock you, where you don't expect it really. You do something unique with the fabric. You do something unique with actually how you do the reveal. And I think furthermore, I don't know if this is a group decision here, but I don't think the fans really want a 3-in-1 anymore. Like, that's a hard challenge to watch. Like, even taking notes for it, it's just too much. It's too much to digest. If you're going to do that, I think we need more time. Like, they have the exact same runway time per cast member with 3 looks. And I think if you're going to do a 3, give us a little bit more time, which would be fun because you'd get more from the queen and the VO. And more from the judges and their little jokes. So that would be my only challenge. Mark, I liked Alexis. She did miss the mark, but you asked a question last week's episode about when did you really fall in love with drag, you know? And there was multiple times along everyone's life. You know, there was times in my life where I just didn't even like drag because, you know, there was own internalized homophobia type stuff, but that's another story. But anyway, going into Drag Race when it was on TV and you like all these queens, like Raja was amazing, of course, you know, Angina season 1. But when Alexis was 3, right?
Yeah.
She was season 3. When Alexis came on to season 3, I was tickled pink. So I think I give her a little bit of a pass as far as if it wasn't cohesive. It missed the mark, but I still would have given her like a 9 or a 10. I love Alexis, and she gave me delight. She gave me Bam, and I'll say it's okay.
Well, I think going off of what you said about the 3-in-1 and it being cohesive and kind of one falling into the other, I'm going to loop the next two together because I think they were the only two, in my opinion, that did actual 3-in-1s, which was India Farah and Shea Coulee. Because they had a concept that just had layers. Well, I guess Ms. Cracker too kind of gets put in there, although I didn't like Ms. Cracker's at all. But you know what I mean? Like they all started with a look that just had different variations of that look instead of doing 3 different looks. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Ollie?
Well, I don't know. I guess now that you bring that up, it's like, yeah, do you want to have that cohesive 3 looks or do you want 3 separate different looks? Because that's why I like Blair so much, for example. But I definitely did. Like, I mean, are you kidding me? jumping ahead, Shay was like killed it, and I completely disagree with judging this week. I don't understand. But yeah, those with India and Crackers were very polished to me, especially India's. And India's wasn't like as colorful or as like Shay's or Crackers, but like they just look so polished. And
India's was probably my favorite of the week. Runway, India, hands down, I think in my opinion. I did like Shay's. I did understand what they were saying with it looking a little, costume doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. And I even got up when I watched it a second time to stand close to the TV to really look at Shay's. And I really did have a hard time kind of figuring out what was what. So I think that that's kind of, it got a little muddy, I guess. I did kind of understand that. The only other two people that we didn't mention, I just want to mention their names so we can talk about them too, is Jujubee and Mariah. Jujubee ended up winning the challenge, but.
Which I love Jujubee, but I feel like her looks were costumey.
That was party city.
Like, I'm like, okay, yes, seasons. Bring me the seasons. Halloween, Christmas. Yeah. But oh my gosh, compared, if you're going to call like crafty to Shay and not read Juju, kind of took issue with that this week. And I love Juju. She killed it this week. Totally deserved to win. And then Mariah's like, I think I wasn't as underwhelmed as with like Mayhem, but I love that she at least turned like the cocktail dress into like an evening gown. Like, I thought that was cool. I love it when a queen takes something small and makes it bigger, start small, then bigger. And so I will give her credit for that at least.
Typically when I do an after show, I don't try to watch like Pit Stop or What You Packing. But yes, Mariah did say that to Michelle, that like, if you think about it and if you rewatch, like she was one of the only ones who went small to big, which we do got to give that nod. So it's unfortunate she didn't do this. She got voted out this season. Going off Cracker, I did like Cracker. I think the presentation was a little weird. I don't know if there was something else she could have done. Like, she could have given a lot of leg, walked to the center point, plopped down, and kind of just been like an egg, and then like rose up. Like, there was something that I like it. It's a Garo Sparrow. He was the winner of Project Runway. But I didn't like the egg with its little mini steps. Like, that didn't work for me. And I think that threw off everything that potentially could have been great for Cracker. So maybe if Cracker could have just like displayed right in the middle, dropped down and like illuminated up as the egg was opening, so to speak, that might have looked a little visually more appealing. And India Farrow was great, but that's like the idea with the challenge. Like, what's your interpretation of the challenge? I didn't think Juju was that bad. It was a little corny, but like, if your interpretation of the challenge is three looks that are cohesive, then yeah, you want an India Farrah to win. You definitely don't want Juju to win. If it's more about giving us like a story, what'd she say? I'm the queen of all seasons. Well, then you do that. And Shay wasn't bad. Shay was really good. I agree with Ollie 100%. And I'm not even into the like makeup that's so out there. Like, I think Ollie likes like cosplay. I couldn't tell you a cosplay person in my life. Never played video games. So I like none of that, right? But Shay, like, you know, when they talk about the clothing, you know, wear the garment, Shay wore the makeup. And I think I was really shocked that she didn't get a good critique. Because it was beautiful.
She's definitely one that when it comes to the runway, I want to see what she's come up with. Because I think it's always a little outside of the box. I think it's always very creative, whether it fits what you like or not, I think is always the debate. The other thing I also wanted to talk about, or give us some time to talk about this, because it's been a kind of an ongoing theme the last two episodes now, and that is the Miss Cracker drama. So we know that she confronted Angina last episode and there was a drama unfolded. Well, then the beginning of this episode, Alexis brings up that confrontation and says, you know, what was your idea behind that? Cracker gives an excuse or a reason. Mayhem and India clearly did not think that Miss Cracker was being honest. I'm just curious. We'll talk about the other Miss Cracker incident with Alexis later. That happens later in a moment. But what did you guys think? Did you think Cracker was being honest? Do you think she genuinely didn't mean to hurt Angina's feelings?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I will say this though. Like, I know there's that whole, like, I love Cracker, but it is interesting that they were kind of giving her like that villain edit. However, now it seems like that villain edit is being stripped from her. And so I feel like what the show needs to do moving forward is to protect its like queens. Like, it's okay, you're going to like protect Cracker from the fans attacking her. But like, when you have a queen of color from past seasons, such as Jasmine Masters, Kennedy Davenport, you know, queens that are just getting, even Britta Filter this season, like, ripped to shreds, death threats. Like, I feel like the show just needs to take accountability and protect its queens with some of the editing. And like, let's have a villain that's redeemable. Like, if you're going to edit them like so bad, like, make them, protect them. Like, I don't know. I just, that's my personal opinion, because they're clearly protecting Cracker at this point, from my perspective of how this episode unfolded. Because now this week, the fans were targeting Alexis, and she does not deserve that. Like, Alexis is such an OG from Drag Race. And so it really broke my heart to see her like post things about like all the things that were negative and all the harsh criticism that she was getting from the fandom. And so obviously I'm always such a huge advocate to like, do not send, you shouldn't have social media if you're going to send death threats or hate to these queens. Like, you're not a true fan of Drag Race if you do that to these,
right?
Because they're just here to entertain us and show their art. So it just upsets me. And I have lots of feelings towards kind of like how the fandom is with its queens.
Agreed.
And I don't know if they, I don't know if they need to do like a slate as they did with the SP situation, but maybe even a slate every episode before or after, and just maybe after, you know, you don't want to like disarm the people or arm the people right as the show's starting. Let it be fun, let it be playful. But as the show materializes and you go into Untucked, throw a little slate up there, like give a perspective, like just if that knocks down 30% of the people who were going to be a little wild, that would be doing its justice. Now, what do I think about it? I think there's this weird thing going on, because last season, which season 12 was my least favorite season by far, actually. There's this weird thing where if you're remotely confident or aggressive or opinionated, you're turned into this really, really rotten person. Like somebody had mentioned, and I know, I think it was it Bob or Peppermint. I don't know who it was. It was one of those recap shows where they're like, "Wow, it's so interesting and unfair because Peppermint, Britta." Is adored in New York, sweet as can be, and yet she turned into more of a villain this season, talking about 12, than SP. Now that, yeah. If you think about it, is so, so crazy. Yeah. So I have an interesting soft spot with Cracker because A, I love her, and B, you know, having spent 7 years in New York City, folks of all walks of life from New York are about their business, they're fast, they're raw, they don't cut corners in regards to how they communicate. And so it really does bother me where in reality, seasons ago, you'd have other New York queens that would be, you know, really raw and abrasive and down to win this game. And it was a championship quality. Now that quality, based on Britta, based on what's happening with Cracker, is turning into like them being demonized. And I don't like it. And I know that there's something happening different with Drag Race because the one of the last, was it Rusicles? I think on season 12 was losers or winners. So we're trying to like equal everything, which is cute. I like that. That's fair and nice. But at the same time, now you're making the confident queens look really bad. And I don't like that. I think it's great that Alexis has something to say, but I think it was great that Cracker had something to say. I think they should both be able to talk that way without any of them being crazy, you know, or looking crazy.
And I do think, again, we've talked about this many, 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 many times. A lot of it is the, you know, Miss Cracker can say something and what music is played underneath it and what music, you know, is played after it to give the audience the notion, oh, this was a bad thing. So it's interesting to see when I feel like when Alexis says something, it's always the dun, 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 you know, made to seem like she's attacking, made she seem to be mean. But when Miss Cracker does it, it's like this light aerial music, like, oh, poor, woe is her, you know, where they're both being, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, of everybody, I mean, I've sat in dressing rooms for years and years and years and years and years with drag queens. We all have attitude. We all call each other out on things. What you see is very common. It's just we don't have that produced soundtrack over everything, amplifying it and creating the anger. Because if this was just them doing this competition. We see that competition, whatever, and there's no soundtrack behind it. These girls wouldn't probably even think twice about the things that are being said to each other because of how it's played up. So I do think a lot of the responsibility is on the producers. And if they do want to, they need to stop. They need to stop villainizing these people, these girls, for having their opinions. Because I personally, in my opinion, I'm seeing, I don't know Miss Cracker well. I know Alexis a little bit better. And Alexis is one of the sweetest, kindest, nicest human beings. But I also, I'm about this, me and Alexis are around the same age too. So we have a very similar attitude about drag. So I think I relate to her. I understand where she's coming from. It doesn't seem hurtful to me. She's just going, hey girl, you know, we're on the show. You're talking about people you know, like working with. You're not mentioning me. I'm going to ask you about it. It's good TV. But when Miss Cracker does it, it's a whole nother
story. Just like, honestly, I think Alexis was asking a genuine question.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because also take what happened last episode when she came for Angina, you know? So I feel like Alexis is asking a genuine question of like, oh, is this going to be mind games? Is she didn't say my name. Like what's the deal? And so maybe there is level of paranoia, you know, mm-hmm. the high pressure competition. So it's like, it's not deserving of sending her so much hate. It was a genuine question. And I feel like it was squashed.
I get what you got. Sorry. I missed the mark earlier, Mark, what you were saying. Yeah. I missed the mark. I thought you were talking about more the way certain things are, but you're saying it's the Alyssa Edwards of it all. Alyssa Edwards could read somebody and it's so cute and cozy. Yay. And that's not fair. Yep. And I think going off a little bit of what I was saying was, if you're trying to make a everyone say love show, yep. I don't think it's everyone say love show if you still make Cracker read somebody quirky and Alexis read somebody as more of a demonic instrumental. So for those Agreed. Who say, well, they can't edit you if they don't give you anything, I'm here to say I've seen edits. Yes, they can. They can cut off things. They can build yep. things out of context. I'm not saying the show's fake, but that worries me. I'm glad you...
Now
Mark's the best.
It's going to be an ongoing, I think, conversation unless they drastically change things. Unfortunately,
with that being said, I like the season, I like the cast, and hopefully we can move forward and get a little bit more cohesive.
I hope so too. I will just talk about it. We won't discuss it, but I just wanted to mention that the mirror moment was kind of in the Untucked when Juju talks about her drinking and drugs, and Mayhem opens up about thinking that she may drink too much. I think it's a legitimate thing. I'm glad that they did talk about it. Again, I feel like the show could so much be used as a helpful tool than to bring everybody down and make everybody seem so villainous, because I think that was a great moment for them.
Yeah, and just keep watching Untucked. Like, don't stop when the show ends. Like, Untucked is where it does help redeem and showcase their stories. Like, I'm glad Mayhem's getting that story show, because I had no clue that she was going through that. Yeah. And Blair, too. Blair's battle with addiction as well.
I mean,
And back when reality TV started, they followed the story. Now, and this is not a Drag Race knock, this is Housewives, Vanderpump. Now the stories are, you know, in the Bible, somewhat created already. And I think that's the problem we're having. But if you sit down and actually give some time and follow these people's stories, I think we're going to have just as much compelling content. And I'm so sad that Mariah left. Can she come back?
I don't think they're gonna have a comeback.
I hope she redeems all the social media success, the adulation.
She's amazing.
And she carried herself well. It does it's devastating a bit to see her go so early, really.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Well, I think we're out of time already.
No,
I can't believe it. I know. But I want to say real quick, as we're signing off, and everybody tell everybody where they can find everybody. I do want to tell everybody, if you're online and you're not doing anything for the next hour or two, that Nina West is doing a live digital show on YouTube and her Twitch. So her YouTube is Nina West Official and her Twitch is Real Nina West. And it's a show tunes. They used to do, when I, the bar I worked at in Ohio, do a show tune Sundays, and it's their show tune show. And they're doing it with Industry Bar New York City. So they're Ronnie Jr. You might know some of the girls that are going to be on the panel.
I've been there.
It's starting at 5 o'clock. Well, now it's starting right now. Drag queens. You probably got 5 more minutes or 10 more minutes. But if you want to go check that out, I told her I would promote it for her.
Also, real quick, if you want to support Peppermint, And Bob the Drag Queen, they have Black Queer Town Hall. It's 3 days. Today's the third day. And it has an assemblage of so many queens. And if you also want to talk about queens that are doing IG lives that are fantastic, just because from the New York City queens that I enjoyed, Tina Burner is amazing. Keisha Carr, the Bearded Bitch, is amazing. Pixie Aventura is amazing. Jasmine Rice LaBeija is amazing. So just, I want to throw out some of these names.
Sure.
Keep watching them and showing support. Yeah.
And Ronnie, where can they find you on the social medias?
Oh, everything is linked at randomlyronniejr.com. It links to my YouTube channel. It's a fun new YouTube channel, so show it some love. Be nice, be cute, and flirt with me. I know I'm not the most attractive one in the bunch anymore. You know, baby boy is now almost 40 years old, so the metabolism has quit on me, but I will work it through, and love me like I love you. Yeah.
And Ollie, my baby girl.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ollie Dreamer.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at the Mark J. Freeman. And you can find Lorraine in there too somewhere. Thank you guys. Thank you for joining us. Ronnie and Ollie, as
Thank
always.
You.
Love you guys.
You.
Have a good Sunday. Go kiss your daddies.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily